This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, May 10th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Manure report shows worms and algae, pumps to slow Tulare Lake growth, fire insurance bill passes Senate, and precision ag standards get push. The great pumping has begun. As another heat wave approaches, the Department of Water Resources is supplying local water districts with pumps to divert spring snowmelt. The goal is to reduce downstream flood impacts in the Tulare Lake region. Those temporary pumps and siphons will divert about 55,000 acre-feet of water over the next 4 months. The excess flows will support groundwater recharge projects on farms and on other sites. Now, keep in mind, in two prior years when Tulare Lake reemerged, pumping took up to 2 years to clear the floodwater. Senate passes relief for fire insurance. The state Senate yesterday approved SB 505, that to help farms gain commercial fire insurance. Senator Susan Rubio of Baldwin Park had passed a measure in 2021 enabling farmers and ranchers to gain coverage from the California Fair Plan, the state's insurer of last resort, after providers had dropped their plans. Rubio's latest bill would expand the plan's clearinghouse to enable those policies to move to the competitive marketplace. The state already has such mechanisms for homeowners. The California Farm Bureau sponsored both bills and cheered Senate passage. President Jamie Johansen said SB 505 would provide affordable coverage options for California's vital food producers. Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, a co-sponsor, added that businesses do best when they have more choices for insurance coverage. An assembly committee will take up the measure next. Advisors drop a manure report in CDFA's hands. In 2021, CDFA convened a task force on repurposing excess dairy manure for beneficial uses. In time for budget season, the advisors have delivered their recommendations to the department. The strategies focus on building healthy soils, sequestering carbon, offsetting industrial fertilizer use, protecting air and water quality, and reducing agriculture's carbon footprint. According to CDFA Secretary Karen Ross, these benefits impact not just farmers, but the state, our consumers, and our environment. The conventional practice is to apply the manure to crop fields as soil amendments, but the report also delves into emerging science on vermin filtration, using worms to absorb the liquid effluent and bacteria. Similarly, treating the manure waste streams with algae also shows promise. Evaporative processing plants could also handle the liquid manure. Remember, matching state, federal, and private dollars are investing $300 million to scale up such research efforts at dairies. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Elanco eyes 2024 launch for methane reducer. Elanco CEO Jeff Simmons says the company remains confident that it will get FDA approval in the first half of next year for its methane-reducing feed supplement for cattle known as Bovaer. During the company's quarterly earnings call, Simmons said the company intends to launch that and some other products within 2 to 4 months of getting government approval. Elanco says the product, developed by the Dutch company Royal DSM, can reduce methane emissions by 30% in dairy cows and even more in beef cattle. House Ag Moving Precision Ag Bill. The House Agriculture Committee is set to advance a bill that would require USDA to set voluntary interconnectivity standards and guidelines for precision agriculture technology. The standards would, quote, promote economies of scale and ease the burden of the adoption of precision agriculture, according to the bill sponsored by Representative Donald Davis of North Carolina. USDA would have 2 years to develop the standards in consultation with the Federal Communications Commission, the Commerce Department, and industry stakeholders. Now take note, a second bill the committee is moving is the Beagle Brigade Act. It would establish a national detector dog training center for training the animals that are deployed to catch products at ports and airports that may harbor plant and animal pests and diseases. The bill is sponsored by Representative Sanford Bishop, the Georgia Democrat. A companion bill is also pending in the Senate Ag Committee. Debt ceiling talks continue Friday. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters he didn't see any new movement at a meeting with President Biden and congressional leaders yesterday on the debt ceiling. But Biden said later he would be meeting with congressional leaders again on Friday and that there would be staff discussions in the interim. Biden also left the door open to clawing back unused pandemic funding. McCarthy continued to emphasize the need for expanded work requirements for SNAP and other programs, quote, to help our supply chains get stronger. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky stressed the clean debt ceiling increase that President Biden wants cannot pass the Senate. Lawmakers press for WTO dispute on India's ag subsidies. The U.S. has twice filed counter-notifications with the World Trade Organization to demonstrate that India is vastly under-reporting its subsidies for wheat and rice production, and now House members are urging the U.S. Trade Representative to officially challenge the Indian policy. India has disregarded WTO commitments for at least a decade, leading to entrenched policies and an increasingly justified perception that the rules will not be enforced. That the word of Representatives Rick Crawford of Arkansas, Tracy Mann of Kansas, and 16 other members who wrote a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai and USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Meanwhile, these policies have a global spillover that degrade market opportunities for U.S. farmers in the United States and other countries that comply with the WTO agriculture rules. Australia, Canada, Paraguay, Thailand, and Ukraine backed the second U.S. counter-notification on India. Well, here's today's She Said It. Meeting the commitments of the Paris Accord requires prioritizing the food and agriculture system transformation at the same level as the energy transmission. We've got to stop saying that it's the energy transition first. They need to be on an equal footing. That the word of Yetharian Cousin, founder and CEO of Food Systems for the Future and former executive director at the United Nations World Food Program. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, May 10th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.